Continuing on page or slide 15 of the lecture one slides, then we'll talk about a little bit of the mathematics behind the block maxima method. You maybe remember that I talked about the reasons for using the generalized extreme value distribution with stability and asymptotics. And I'll do this in a bit more detail now and in a mathematical way, because I think that's important for understanding. And you also get useful formulas out of it. But to use statistics or to use any kind of scientific method, you really need to understand it. So it's important not just to know what you're supposed to do, but also to think about why you're doing it. So the mathematics behind the block maxima method, then you look at some random variables. Random variables I typically write with capital letters, so the observations, which we talked about in the previous sound clip, they were small, small x's, so x1 was maybe 2.3 and so on. But here we have capital x's, which means we think about them as stochastic variables. And now the assumption is that x1, x2, and so on are independent and identically distributed. IID is the abbreviation, random variables. And they have a distribution function f, that which means then that if you take f and plug in x, you get the probability that x1 is less than or equal to x. And of course, since the variables are identically distributed, then that means also that you get the probability that x2 is less than or equal to x, or that x34 is less than or equal to x. Then new notation, m index n is a max, which is a maximum of x1 up to xn, is a maximum of the first n variables. So for example, n could be 30, you've looked at 30 days, and x could be the daily losses, then x would be, say x1 would be, sorry, then mn would be the largest of the 30 daily losses. So that would be a value, probably a bit bigger than what you saw before, depending on what you look at. Now, the important thing which you've seen most likely in your basic statistics course is the following formula. We want to get the distribution function of this mn, the maximum of the 30 daily losses, if x is daily losses and n is 30. And so you want to get this distribution function, that is, you want to compute the probability that mn is less than or equal to x. And then the first equality sign, why is this true? Well, you probably got it. For the maximum to be less than x, all the values have to be less than x. So if x1 is less than or equal to x, x2 is less than or equal to x, up to xn is less than or equal to x, then the maximum must be less than x. And of course, it goes the other way around too. If the maximum is less than or equal to x, all the variables have to be smaller than x2. So this gives the first equality sign. The second equality sign depends on you remembering what independence means. So you have to think about what independence means from your basic statistics course. And of course, I should have said this maybe before. The notation is what this comes after the first equality, that I write the probability that x1 is less than or equal to x, x2 is less than or equal to x, up to xn less than or equal to x, where I write things with comma in between. It means that all the individual events occur. So it means that x1 is less than or equal to x, and x2 is less than or equal to x, and so on, xn is less than or equal to x. So now, hopefully, you have the second equality sign. if the x's are independent, that means that the probability that that means that the events at x1 is less than or equal to x1, x2 is less than or equal to x, and so on, are independent events. And the definition of independence is that the probability that one or two or several independent events occur simultaneously is just a product of the probabilities that they occur individually. So what's to the right on top is just equal to the probability that x1 is less than or equal to x times the probability that x2 is less than or equal to x, and so on, all the way up to xn less than or equal to x. I now see that's a misprint. The one at the end should be n. But now, to get the last last equality, the probability, since these variables are assumed to have an identical distribution, then the probability that x1 is less than or equal to x, well, that's the same as the probability that x2 is less than or equal to x, and so on. They are all equal to f of x. So you get a product of n variables, which each are equal to f of x. So you get f of x times f of x times f of x n times. And that's, of course, the f of x to the power n. Now an exercise, and the exercise is to show that the generalized extreme value distributions are max stable. That means that if you now start with n IID generalized extreme value distributed random variables, then the maximum also has a generalized extreme value distribution. That means that you would show, if you assume on top that f of x equals g of x, that is that f of x has the form g of x e to the minus 1 plus gamma x minus mu over sigma to the 1 minus gamma, the shape you saw a couple of slides ago, then there are new scale and location and scale parameters, mu n and sigma n, such that g of x to the n, the distribution of the maximum of n of these variables, again is a generalized extreme value distribution, but with a different scale and a different location. And the exercise is also to find mu n and sigma n. So I'll post a short video with a solution of the solution to this exercise. But as always, it's a very good idea if you take a little break and try to prove or solve this exercise yourself before you look at the video. Okay, going back to more general things, then there's the basic theory of extreme value statistics, one-dimensional extreme value statistics, is that a distribution function G is max stable if and only if it is in generalized extreme value distribution. This means that if you have a generalized extreme value distribution, it's max stable, as you saw in the previous exercise. And it goes the other way around. If a distribution is max stable, that is, if it has a property on the previous page that if you take maxima of IID variables with this distribution, then the result is again the same distribution only with a location scale transformation. Then it has to be a generalized extreme value distribution. So we've already proved half of this theorem. This was the previous exercise. It showed that the extreme value distributions, the generalized extreme value distributions, are max stable. The other part is to show that if a distribution function is max stable, then it has to be a generalized extreme value distribution. And being max stable is just the equation you see behind, see where you have g of x to the n is g of x minus mu n over sigma n. So that's an equation which has to hold for every value of x. So it's a functional equation. It tells you that two functions are the same. And then there's general mathematics theory, which you can use to solve this functional equation and show that the generalized extreme value distributions are the only solutions to this functional equation. And basically, this is using the Cauchy functional equation. So that was stability. The other theorem is asymptotics. If there are constants Bn, which is positive, it's going to be a scale parameter, it has to be positive. And An, which is a location parameter, if there are constants Bn, An, such that the probability that Mn, the maximum n of variables, id variables, rescaled and relocated by Bn and An, if the distribution of those, that is the probability that they are less than or equal to x, if it tends to distribution function g of x as n tends to infinity and for all x, then g of x must be a generalized extreme value distribution. This is just as the central limit theorem which you've seen for the normal distribution. It's just that sums are changed for maximum. And the proof of this theorem is pretty straightforward. It just, what you do is just, you show that if the equation holds, then g of s must be max stable. And then you know by the first theorem that it must be a generalized extreme value distribution. So an exercise, and the idea of this exercise is that you want to see how one can compute these values and what are the ans and bns and what do they mean. So what we're looking at in the first formula, we're looking at the distribution function f of x, which is 1 minus a constant divided by x to the power alpha. So this is a distribution function, has to be positive, so this can only hold for x greater than or equal to k. So the distribution is zero up to capital K, and then it's non-zero. So it means if random variables have this distribution functions, they cannot take negative values which are smaller than k, but they take values bigger than k according to this formula. Now we put an equals k to the n to the 1 over alpha, bn equals k to the power n over 1 over alpha. And why is this? Well, you could really see it by fiddling around by yourself with these which comes below, but I've given you the values here to make things quicker. So then we're interested in what is the probability that mn, the maximum of n random variables with the distribution f of x, which you see on top, that if mn minus an divided by bn, this random variable, what's the probability that this is less than or equal to x? Well, that's the same, of course, as the probability that mn is less than or equal to bnx plus an. So that's the first inequality. Then, of course, as we saw a couple of slides before, the probability that the maximum is less than or equal to some value, that's just f to this value raised to the power n. So that's a second equality sign. And the third is trivial. We know that the form of f of x, So if you replace f of x by the form on the top, well, then you get f of x is 1 minus k, and then you should insert the value you want to compute. So you insert b and x plus a, and then you have to the power alpha, and then the n comes from taking maxima. So you get the third equality. And inserting what an and bn are, you get the last equality. You just insert them. An was kn to the 1 over alpha. Then that becomes, you get an n to the 1 over alpha, and then you take it out and you get 1 over n, and so on. So the expression above is just equal to 1 minus 1 over n, 1 divided by x plus 1 to the alpha to the power n. And then if you let n tend to infinity, this limit is e to the minus 1 plus x to the minus alpha. And this is something you hopefully remember from basic mathematics. This is a formula that 1 plus some constant a over n to the power n tends to e to the power n a as n tends to infinity. So here, a in the expression on top, a equals to 1 equals to minus 1 over x plus 1 to the power alpha. So that is just so a is just minus 1 plus x to the minus alpha. So that's how you get the last part on the second line from the bottom. And now you can see that this, if you remember the form of the generalized extreme value distributions, you can see this is a generalized extreme value distribution, but a bit reparametrized. You have to think about gamma will be equal to 1 over alpha, mu will be equal to 0, and you'll have to think about what sigma is yourself. It will actually be one over alpha, I think, but you better check. So hopefully you did this computation yourself before I talked about it and found just what I'm saying just boring and too short, too long. But anyway, it's very good if you do this exercise, because it makes you understand why the generalized extreme value distributions occur as a limit of maxima of many variables. Now, going back to practice, and I write, perhaps this is page 18, and it says, perhaps unnecessary explanation, and perhaps not. It's important that you think it through anyway. So what I write is that, what does this mean? That the probability of the maximum rescaled and relocated, that this tends to some limit g of x as n tends to infinity, and this holds for all x. What does this mean in practice? Well, the limit means that if n is large, then the left-hand side is sort of approximately equal to g of x. So what in practice, the top equation says that the probability that mn minus an divided by bn is less than or equal to x just means that this expression is approximately g of x. And of course, if you now set y equals bnx plus an and g of x equals 1 plus gamma times x minus mu prime over sigma prime to the power 1 minus gamma, this means that the probability that mn is less than or equal to y is the same as g of y minus an over bn, because the probability that mn is less than or equal to y, it's a probability that mn is less than or equal to bnx plus an. This is the same, and then it's the same that then this gives you g of y minus an over bn. And so this means in turn, since g is a generalized extreme value distribution, this means that g of y minus an over bn is e to the minus 1 plus gamma y minus an plus bn mu prime divided by bn sigma prime to the minus 1 over gamma, where I've written mu prime and sigma prime for the location and shape parameters of the generalized extreme value distribution g of x. But now you can just put sigma equals bn sigma prime, and you could put mu equals an plus bn mu prime, and then what you get is that the last expression, that the probability that mn is less than or equal to y, it's just some generalized extreme value distribution. It has the form e to the minus 1 plus gamma y minus mu over sigma to the power 1 divided by gamma. And here you have the formulas for mu and sigma. But you don't know an, you don't know mu prime, and you don't know sigma prime. So all the parameters are unknown anyway. So what you're left with is just, if you want to have the probability distribution of mn, the probability that mn is less than or equal to y, what you have to do is just to assume that mn has a generalized extreme value distribution and estimate mu, comma, sigma, comma, gamma from the data, i.e. you should just use the block maxima method. And this is the last part of lecture 1.